Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity related diseases and disorders and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.
And weight loss with Iveem, the top prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveem makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveem. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Introducing Peptide Bite. It's the first daily natural vitamin to help support a reduction in the major side effects of GLP-1s. Peptide Bite supports fatigue, nausea, GI side effects, and promotes better metabolism. It is third-party tested, made in the USA, in a FDA-certified facility. Peptide Bite is a game-changer all-in-one daily supplement, pharmacist and physician formulated to be safe and effective. Use code PLUS20 for 20% off at zennutrients.com.
Time for a change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
Have any trouble navigating coping skills in your life where you use food, alcohol, or other drugs, shopping, gambling, sex, or if you are obese and you're wondering what medical solutions are available to you, or if you have children that are overweight and you're wondering what to do about it, I highly recommend that you listen to my new podcast, The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracey. I've lost 165 pounds over the last 16 months, and it's been an emotional journey more than anything. Easy Way Out started as a podcast about whether or not I should have weight loss surgery to handle my chronic obesity, but it ended up in places I did not expect. My personal favorite episode is Shut Up Fatty, and it's with my daughter and my son, who are now adults, and we covered what it was like for them to grow up in a fat family and how I handled the fact that they were overweight and what I could have done better as their mom. You'll be tearing up one second and cracking up the next. You can find The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracey anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Bliss Dad Podcast. Yay. Jernine, how are you?
I am.
You look windblown.
Yes, because I was literally flying back to
you. Just flew in, literally.
Literally.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
And I felt like I was flying through the airport so I could get back home, but it's no place like home. And it's no place like being here with you gals.
That's yes, right.
Gal. I say gals.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, gal.
It's fine.
This is JoJo. We can say that.
Okay. You okay, know? Cool. Yeah,
sure.
All right.
Go. She, her.
Hey, Kat. How you doing?
Hi. How are you guys
I got doing? Me a little sniffle, so you're going to see my trusty teepee over here.
Going like right. I've had post-nasal drip for like 2 months, so I get it.
Oh, yuck.
Everybody's been sick for like the past 2 months. It's like they have a cough that just won't go away. The sniffles that are just here to stay. That
rhyme. We had the flu for Christmas. It was a good gift.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. I'm glad I got my flu shot this weekend. I'm feeling so much better today.
No. That's good. I heard it knocked you on your butt because you got that plus COVID, right?
Yeah.
Got a shot anyway. Yeah.
I'm a boss.
She did. What is it? Just like you guys are like, hey, I'll just pay once. And like, I don't get it.
My arm feels like I got a tetanus shot.
I bet it does. But, my God.
I just felt chilled and exhausted. That was it.
Yeah.
But this morning, I still felt kind of weird. So I didn't go work out. And but now I just made it. I made a TikTok about my Rick James t-shirt.
I saw
the Rick James t-shirt.
Oh, I can fit it again. Hasn't fit in 20 years.
That's amazing. I bought my favorite top and now I don't know if you guys know, but I'm obsessed with this top. Like those who can watch, I have it in every color they have. It just got restocked. It's Polar, my favorite tops. They're my favorite tops because they're oversized and they're straight size. So I can wear like regular human size clothes. Like, you know what I mean? Like regular, like you know what I mean by regular sized human, right? Like the like average.
I get it.
Yeah. Average folk. Like I could walk into an Ender store. Yeah, anyway, I like it. I love the pole stuff because it's just like super unique. And I have it in every color. So this season on the podcast, you're going to see this shirt in every color, including the pink one. Oh, I got two pink ones.
I like that gray one that you
this is the green one.
The green, there's a gray one.
The gray one I wore on last season. I don't care. I love it. Like that, you know, that TikTok trend. Like if I like it, I'll buy it a different color. Hey,
that's you, huh?
But I am pretty darn sure because when I bought it before and it was out of stock, it was actually a large. And I've since then lost 20 more pounds. And now I think I can wear a medium. So I think I'll keep the large because I love it. I know. But keep in mind, it's oversized, right? So, you know, it's just, I love it. It's cute. Here's the thing. As a plus size lady, I find that there is just not a lot of like, I feel like I walk into a room and if there's somebody else plus size, a lot of times we're wearing the same clothes, you know? And so I like the pull stuff that comes from the boutiques because I can wear it and I feel like I look more unique, you know? And I'd like to stand out for something other than my bootay. You know, I want to look cute.
That's
cute.
A good idea.
Cute. I want to look cute, like the Kardashians cute. You know how they always say that? You look cute. I just did a video for the for those jeans, the Good American jeans. I was like, you look cute. That's what they say to each other when they see each other, like,
and the vocal fry.
You look and cute.
The vocal fry. Yeah, like you look cute.
Oh my God.
Right. I love any Kardashian trending sound. I think
they're funny. Hilarious. I know. I do too. My husband hates that I do, but I'm like, they're so entertaining.
They are.
I didn't say I don't want to be their best friends. I'm just saying they're very
entertaining. Their madness is just like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
What are they up to now? Yeah.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Anyway, so people that if you're new here, like go back and watch the first two seasons, please. Thank you. But if you want to stay, that's cool too. But I'm Kim, and this is the Plus Sides Podcast. I'm the founder and host or something, and Cassie, associate producer and host or something, and JT is a business development person and host, and you know that's what we do here. I've struggled with obesity since I was a little girl. Since I was eight, I was my first diet at 8 years old. My binge eating disorder, so I don't have to abbreviate it here. My binge eating disorder started there. A lot of disordered eating for me. And when I got to a certain dose of GLP-1 medications, my food noise turned off like a switch, and I have not had any binge eating anything in 17 months. And that is the longest I've ever gone. It is life-changing. My obsessive anxiety is gone. And when you are sick your whole life and then you are better, all you want to do is shout about it. And luckily there was a community here on TikTok and many people that were thrilled to do the same, you know? And so we're trying to get loud and change things on this podcast. We figure we'll be in the thorn of people's side soon enough. We're part of some telehealths and stuff, trying to change the way that, you know, our community is treated in healthcare going forward. We're trying to move some sort of needle. And in the meantime, we get messages that we're changing lives. So that's what we try to do here. And we're glad to have you along for the ride. I want to make sure that I get Kat an opportunity to tell her quick spiel and JT too.
Struggle with obesity all my life. I like to liken myself as a plus size fitty, fat fitty. I like to own that word. I've always loved fitness, did a lot of sports. But now it's amazing. I feel like my exterior is starting to match how I feel on the inside when I work out. I feel fracking amazing every time.
Fracking.
Every time I have a workout. Although I will say it's not, I don't like wake up and be like, yes, I love it. Cause I do love it when I'm doing it, but let's be real.
Sure.
You can't just get up and be like unicorns and rainbows every morning.
Some people are like that though. I wonder about their brain.
Get off your butt. Sometimes some mornings I'm like, get off your ass.
I'm just like, I don't believe better. You. I don't believe you. I'm telling you, I have many, many. Whenever they like are like, oh yeah, jump into the gym, like
ever. My roommate upstairs. My husband
roommate will tell you upstairs.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll tell you. No, there are times sometimes I'll be like, you haven't had a workout in 2 days. I need you to be happier. So can you go?
Yeah. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Hey JT, who are you? What you doing? How are you? What's up? I know you flew in.
I love that.
Tell
shirt.
Me about who you are.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, it's so cute. It's cute. Your shirt's cute. Oh, it's so cute.
It is cute.
It's cute.
Thank you. This is an honor. You know, I don't wear red much.
It's a shame. It's kind of your color. It's like, bam. You should wear it more often.
Well, why? I mean, thank you. But next month is Valentine's Day.
And it's Heart and Health Month.
It's American Heart Health Month.
That's right.
So...
I knew you would bring it home. You always know the things.
So you know, in response to that, because every February, I get into February and I start scrambling for something red to wear that shows a heart. I was actually ahead of the game this year.
Oh, yeah, good. You are.
And I got Look at this. You. I have a pink shirt. I have two. I'm going to pretend like that makes me ahead because I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Well,
pink works.
Well, I mean, pink Kinda. Always works.
Right? But, always. Clearly.
But I said I would wear red because heart health is heart. So important.
Yeah, it
is
and so I'm going to have to get red. You made me think about it.
And especially with obesity and you know, other Look comorbidities.
Out. Yeah,
that's right.
We have to be very vigilant about it.
We do.
So that in honor of those two heart holidays.
Round of applause. Round of applause.
Thank you. I'm wearing a red sweatshirt.
Cool. I love it. All right.
Thank you.
So we'll get started. Enough with the shenanigans. Although many of you love the shenanigans. And those of you who are still here, you're the diehards.
Here for the shenanigans.
You're here for the diehards. Shenanigans. That's right. And we love you. All right. Look, moving
thank
on.
You, diehards. Thank you.
We have a community guest tonight. And we have a doctor that is an obesity doctor, and we will talk more about how and why all of these things that many of us are experiencing are happening, you know, because there's actually reasons in science and maths and all those things behind it. And so like, we want to understand them and we want you to understand them too. So today Our community guest is Jack. Something that Kat had asked about or had put some questions in is that she and I both are larger humans. Like we're tall, larger people. And we're sort of at this place, she and I, oddly at the same time, where we're the smallest us we've ever been. You know, like honestly, there are some people who gain weight and, you know, they it's because they, but there used to be a thin them, right? There is no thin me in the history of me. Like mm-hmm. It does not exist. There is no thin Kim, right? So the mental piece of trying to reconcile with that, that I'm the size I was in high school and I'm still plus size. Like I'm still, you know, in the 240s. I'm very tall, but I'm still plus size. And I'm scared to not be plus size because I've always been, and I've become to where I've almost identified with that. So I think that has a lot to do in my opinion and kind of what I've been working through with the body positivity movement, right? Like with people saying, this is who we are and accepting our bodies for who they are and what they are. But part of me thinks the reason that I did that is because I had to survive, right? With the way that so many people with obesity are shamed and just treated horribly, you know, especially in this country, you know? And I'm curious, like in treating people with obesity, you know, especially when they get down to where that switch is about to happen, right? And maybe they've never been thin, right? How do you handle that? Because I mean, Kat and I don't know what to do. Therapy is good, you know, but still.
Well, one thing that I see very commonly in treating people who are losing a lot of weight is that the self-perception of your own may not change, even though what's in the mirror will change. So someone can lose 100 pounds, but they still see themselves as 100 pounds heavier, even though I'll show them your weight graph, it's gone down 100 pounds. They say, no, I'm not, it's still the same. You don't see yourself as that thinner person because that's how you perceive. So the outside world looking at a thinner Kim, where you're still seeing a heavier Kim. And then we have to learn to accept that both are okay. And you have to feel comfortable in the body that you're in. Another example of that is people tell me they'll lose weight and they'll still go to the section of the store where the clothes are bigger and the saleswoman's looking at them like, what are you doing in this section? You belong over here. And they're like, no, this is my size, and they won't get new clothes and things like that. So being comfortable with how you look and also learning to decide if you want to accept compliments. Because if someone says, oh, you look so great, what someone hears is, I didn't look great all those other times that you saw me. And that can bring upon some situations where people start to regain weight because of the fear of compliments, the fear of being noticed sometimes by suitors. You know, if you've been traumatized, you don't want people to look at you because you might be traumatized again by them. So these are very much things that we deal with therapy, because the self-perception, the outer perception are totally different.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes me think of, because I've gained and lost many times in my life. And I do recall there was a point when I did get fairly low, but 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I realized how comfortable or just accustomed I was to being invisible. Mm-hmm. And then all the extra attention started to, first it was an inconvenience. And second, it made me uncomfortable. Like, this is way too much. Like, I'm used to being invisible, ignored. This is, whoa. yeah. It's an adjustment.
It is bizarre. And I gained it back. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that happens a lot, right? I don't know. I think that our brain, I don't know, it's like constantly fooling us. You know, I don't know how to describe it. And I'm sort of recognizing that it's trying to fool me right now, if that makes sense. When before, I don't think I did, right? I was like, okay, let's go eat some more, things like that. And like, you know, I'm going to go take some liberties. I'm going to have 10 wings and I don't know, like whatever. Right. But I'm realizing like when it starts to kind of like get away with me and being like, wait a minute, is that what's actually going on? Like the ability to slow your mind down and really understand the behavior, I think has been a very powerful experience for me. I really wasn't capable before. I really wasn't, you know? And it's just so nice to be capable, you know?
True.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right. So we've got another question for you too, as we have all of them for you. So you shared with us on the beginning and in your bios that you struggled with weight during your preteen years. And I read that you assisted some of your classmates as well. What is your outlook on varying levels of obesity, genetics, and the treatments of, or are there, would, in your opinion, be varying levels of like ways to treat obesity?
So this is a really packed question. One thing I do draw for my patients when they come in is these three circles. Yeah. And the circles are, you know, what controls your weight? It's more complex than this, but I have the genetic circle.
Okay.
The environmental circle and the physiologic circle. And they're intertwined in a Venn diagram. So, okay. And then tell them your genes control 40 to 70% of your weight.
Wow.
And there's nothing we can do about it right now. There's no gene treatments that we have that can fix that part. And that's why even with the best medication, the best lifestyle, you may not get to a thin person size because there's just that aspect. And of course, genes affect physiology. Then when we look into the intersection between genes and environment, a really common message I get is I ask people when they start to gain weight and, you know, being in New York, they say, oh, when I moved to the US from whatever other country. So what happens there is epigenetics, meaning there is a gene that was turned off when you were living in your home country. But you came here and were exposed to something. Maybe it's the air, a food additive, something that turned that gene on. So previously you could not keep weight on in your other country. How come you can keep doing it too efficiently here and, totally. And really start to gain weight? So the epigenetics, the combination of how environment affects genes is a piece, again, that we can't control.
Right.
And that's why we need the treatment. So the only things we can affect are our environment, diet, exercise, behaviors, and physiology. That's medication to help your body want to lose weight. And our bodies are designed to survive famines. So when we eat less and move more, the body says, oh no, I don't want her to die in this famine. So let me slow metabolism. Let me make hunger hormones go up. Let me make fullness hormones go down. And the treatments we have now do the opposite of that. And there are more treatments in the pipeline that will do that more effectively and treat more people and be tolerated by and really accepted physiologically by more people so we can find these. And I think that's what's really unique about, you know, this newer class of medication, because if we were talking 20 years ago, we'd say, you know, if intramine doesn't work for you, something must be wrong with you.
Right.
You're lying.
True. You know?
And what have we discovered? I really think that people have a GLP-1 deficiency.
Yeah.
And that's something that we should consider renaming obesity as we look into other
I love that.
Aspects. Because what do we do when you have low thyroid? We give you thyroid hormone back and then things get better. Right. So we give GLP, we give GIP. There's a third G, the glucagon one. We find the right G's for the person, we're getting results like we've never seen. So that's how we can adjust physiology independent of the genes that we were born with.
Love it. That's brilliant. Awesome. Love it. Hey, Jack, I have a question for you to ask Dr. Lofton, if you look at the chat.
Oh, sorry.
You can read it. No, it's okay. I just think it's a good one.
Oh, for you. I had a question.
I can cut out all this weirdness. It's fine. Lydia,
I can read that as well, but I kind of had a question very similar to that. So I'm glad.
Do both. Yeah, do whatever you want. It's fine.
Building on the topic of childhood obesity and some GLP-1 therapies approved for ages 12 and up, what are your thoughts on the subject? What are some of the instances in your professional opinion that would be suitable for children 12 and up?
So the question is treating adolescent obesity with GLP-1 therapies. I think it's long overdue. I don't think that we should reserve medications for adults if they're proven to be safe in teens and adolescents, which the studies have shown most of the medications that are available for anti-obesity to be safe and effective for age 12 and up. So those that have been studied, I think, should be available. I don't think we should wait until someone is 1, 18, and 2, bariatric surgery has bariatric surgery potential to treat, because what is that person going through in those 18 years? that could potentially be irreversible with regards to mental health, liver disease, diabetes, why should we delay that? So these treatments, I think, should be, of course, used in conjunction with diet and exercise and behaviors, but we need to treat early because our teens and our adolescents are getting these diseases that can be detrimental. And if we don't treat them early, they may not make it till 40.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I do think that, you know, in instances in which I think it's necessary, you've tried what you can from a basis, like you said, doing all the sports. I did 3 sports all the time, too, when I was young, yeah. Still had the weight issue.
Same.
You've done the support groups and all these other things, and you're getting sicker as a child. Not only physiologically with glucose issues and liver issues, blood pressure, cholesterol, but mental health, social isolation. Those are situations we should be more aggressive than diet and exercise in younger people.
Yeah. Yeah. I there is a tremendous amount of just like shame and stuff that went on with me. Like I, even though like, I'm not like Kat where I was like Queen Fitness, but I was in flagline. You dance with a flag on a football field. Like I was also a singer. So I was like, it wasn't like I wasn't social and I wasn't active, you know? There she is. We got JT Vic. But you know, I also played softball. I did ballet and tap. Like I was always very active, but I was still big. And everybody just said that it was because of how badly I ate. But the thing is I didn't eat badly. I don't like giving like that to food anymore, but like that is what I thought at the time. But I didn't eat badly that much in front of people. It was only when they weren't looking. Right. So, and then I think that's where sort of like hiding the food because I felt like I couldn't stop. Right. Started happening. And I remember when we first started this podcast, like episode 5, we had an obesity doctor on. And I didn't even want to touch the whole childhood obesity thing, even though I had struggled with it. I just didn't even want to go there. And eventually we decided if we could ask him the question because the community was really like, we want to know, right? Because if it wasn't about them, they were thinking more about their children and grandchildren. What does this mean now that we know more? How do we get ahead of this or can we? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I asked him about it and he was like, he specifically mentioned that there was a disorder called Prader-Willi's, I think, where children, he's like, this would actually be a really good treatment for someone like that because the only treatment is putting a lock on the refrigerator. Yeah. And he was talking with us about that. And we were like, oh my God. And we didn't even know one, that was a thing. And we also didn't know that, that there were, bariatric surgery that could be done on children. And he said to us, and it was like a big moment, and he's not a specialist for children. He said, I think that before, you know, we consider doing a life-changing, life-altering, body-altering surgery on a child, we can consider a medication. Like, we should at least talk about it. Just because it's, you know, something that you shoot into your skin, I don't think that it shouldn't be part of the conversation. And I thought that was fascinating. You know, I had never heard that before. You know, I'm glad to know that you're like open to it. I'm wondering, like, when we did have a childhood obesity episode 2 as well, and we're hearing that it's even harder for kids to get approved for the medication than it even is for adults, though. Oh, that they would much rather approve the surgery.
It is. The insurances are thinking about a lifetime of therapy, and unfortunately, that's financially driven when it should be health driven. Right. To point out, though, Prader-Willi and other genetic syndromes of obesity, we call this. These are usually identified in the pediatrician's office because there is just, it's highly abnormal rate of weight gain in a young child. So we're talking 2 years old, 18 months, you see obesity. And we do screen for that in our adult clinic, but we see it usually is diagnosed in the pediatrician's office because the weight curve is just, they're off the chart before they reach 2 years old. Mm-hmm. We actually screen with genetic tests for syndromes like Prader-Willi, Bardet-Biedl syndrome is another one, because these are defects in the receptors for satiety in the brain. And if they really have both genes for those deficiencies, such as POMC, which is satiety signal, the leptin receptor, then these drugs actually won't work if they have both genes. There's one drug that does work called setmelanotide for these people with Bardet-Biedl and Prader-Willi. Prader-Willi. Bariatric surgery does not work with Prader-Willi. it is not. So that's something we see someone fail bariatric surgery and say, let's do this genetic test because there is one drug now that if we can prove the patient has these genes, yeah. There's the company actually really helps get approval because it's $25,000 a month.
Oh my gosh.
The only thing that will treat it, this medication setmelanotide. So we do have treatments for those and they are approved for, I think, ages 2 and up.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. $25,000 a month.
It gets covered though.
It does. Cause it covered, yeah. Yes.
And there are a lot of clinical trials going on with them because it's so rare. I mean, this is 1 in 5 million people have these. Yes.
Wow. Fascinating. Wow. Sorry, that like blew my mind, girl. JT, can you see us? Because we can't see you. I keep losing you.
I can hear
you. I can hear you. Wait, no, that was Kat.
That's me.
Okay, we can't see or hear her. JT has left the building. She has found the exits.
Dr. Lofton, speaking to childhood obesity and the coping mechanisms that come along with obesity. I, for one, was someone that coped with eating and also with humor was a big coping mechanism for me. Mm-hmm. And from a young age, I ingrained it in myself that the way to make other people like me was to degrade myself and to degrade my looks and to talk poorly about myself. So what are some things that you think that could help children dealing with obesity, but also the mindset struggle?
And it's a really important topic because as you mentioned, I have this with one of the physician assistants who works in my practice. He actually wrote a book on this before I even hired him called Lose Weight, Find Yourself. And he grew up in denial about his sexuality and masked this with overeating and some social isolation. And then when he was ready to come out, he was able to have great success with weight loss and also made this his job. He works with me. So he does that, works out a lot and things like that. And then wrote this book to get the message through. The therapy aspect of that is just immeasurable in how much it can be helpful because dealing with trauma from childhood in many different ways, whether it's related to the weight condition or not, because it can always come back. You know, we don't say that obesity is cure, it's in remission. So I consider my childhood obesity to be in remission, and we know that this can always come back. So you have to stay on top of that. So dealing with coping strategies and continuing the therapy, and it could be a different level. Sometimes you'll see a therapist, sometimes you'll read self-help books, sometimes you'll do that with working out, but really getting to know what your triggers might be and then refocusing those from eeting. But I also hear that thing you're saying, Jack, where some people make fun of themselves before someone else has a chance to.
Yes.
And that behavior then just breeds more internalized weight bias. Like, they must be right. I am like that, and I should make fun of myself first before that before the group has a chance to. And that is something that we see as in the medical field as well, this internalized weight bias. You know, back in the day when, and this could still happen, some doctors say, if you were just trying harder, you'd be able to lose this weight. And mm-hmm. and these are the negative stereotypes that we have about you. People really take that on and then have these poor coping mechanisms, which can limit results.
Yeah. For sure. That therapy piece has been a really big thing for me. Mm-hmm. I think, and I also think that community is a big deal. So a lot of us that have found a community on TikTok of all places, geez, I swear if like 20-year-old me would like hear this, he'd be like, what the heck is wrong with you? Get off the internet, you know? But it's true though, like being able to process like so much of this and have people that know what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's been incredibly healing to have that connected piece. I feel like that's, I mean, of course the medication is key, right? But the difference this time, I think of having it stick. And even when I have moments like I've had recently where I'm like, I'm not sure I want to lose any more weight, even though technically I'm still obese. Right. And it's because of this. And I just posted a moment feeling very vulnerable, sharing it with my community of 40, 7,000 people and thinking that it would like, this is ridiculous. And when I did, the amount of people that were like, me too, it was huge. And I felt like, oh, okay. So we've got this, we can do this, you know, and it's okay. Right. And hearing that from others, having that community piece baked in, I feel like has been such a big difference for me. Has it been for you ladies too?
The community is definitely a major impact. I do want to say, like, I, you know, through body positivity, all these many, many years, like, I've learned to embrace and enjoy how I look. So now I am at that crossroads where, like, I like this. If I could lose more, I would like that too, but, I'm enjoying this, if that makes, makes sense. But yeah, I totally get that. Yeah.
Minus the skin. I'm ready to get rid of that, but you know, minus that, I think, you know, I'm okay with it, you know? Mm-hmm. I also don't even feel like I have to run and go have surgery or anything like that. I think eventually the skin is going to continue to be an issue. It's a lot, you know, 100 pounds is a lot of weight. I've never lost this much before, you know? So, I mean, it's crazy. And I don't know, like, I hit these things, and I'm curious, maybe you can kind of speak to it a little bit about set weights. Like, we've heard about the set weight theory. And I feel like I've hit many on this journey. I have so many friends that have, they lost consistently 1 to 2 pounds a week, 1 to 2 pounds a week the whole time. And every now and then I'd be like, oh, I gained a little bit, man. They were just like this. I'm not like that. That is not how I roll. Like, my body is like this and like this all the way around. Mm-hmm. So I never did like cute shot day videos or anything like that. Cause I had never had anything consistent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? And, but I'm wondering, like, I remember when I hit the weight that I was before, like when I got pregnant with my son, miracle baby, pregnant with my son. And I remember it was 280 and my body fought that weight and made me gain and go back down and bounce around for 3 months until eventually it let it go, you know? And it's like, I don't really know what that is. Can you explain like what the whole idea of set weight theory is?
Yeah. So this is a theory, I will say. Yeah. So it's not been proven that there's a set point, but what you're referring to is, you know, in equilibrium, if we kind of just let everything go, this is the weight you're going to be. Yeah. And we think certain things can treat that. Surgery treat that? Does it really change it? Does medication treat that? Does it really change it?
Yeah.
But one thing you're commenting on is the trajectory of weight loss. So I actually weigh, you know, first of all, I'll just say in my practice, the number on the scale really doesn't matter to me. The goal is health and happiness. So I want you to have normal labs, feel good, and they will work on maintenance. That's what I tell people.
Okay.
But we look and see, okay, what's your graph look like? Does it look like this? Does it look like this? Or does it look like you said this? That tells me what your body is doing. When you start getting to this part, you're trying to eat less and move more, your body's fighting back. You're trying to eat less and move more, your body's fighting back. So that tells me that if you want to get below this, we need to change something. Mm-hmm. Because your body is saying, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
That was my whole 2023. That's awesome. Okay. But it's starting to like move down now. No. But yeah. Oh, wow.
Eventually.
So, you know, you look at the trajectory. That's why I like graphing the weight to see what's going to happen. Is how proactive I need to be. And if we need to get down here and we're here, we probably need to change your medication or make a major dietary change or see if there's something else we can do in the environment. Because when you look at the graphs from the studies, they're all like, phew. But those are an average of 2,000 to 3,000 people, keep in mind.
Yeah.
That's why it looks like that. So a lot of times I see stair steps down with weight.
Yeah.
So it's really about kind of evaluating where you are in the grand scheme of things.
I definitely don't even consider like looking at my rate of loss, and I still have a cycle. So I don't even do that until the month is over. And then when I look back, it's about 1 to 1.5 pounds a week. Mm-hmm. But I look just by week, sometimes I'll be up 3 pounds and I'm like, I think that's poop and water. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You know, that's why I just like, you know, but I had to learn a lot about that. It has been interesting to have a better relationship with the scale, if that makes sense, through this whole process. Like JT says, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Like it is a time thing. It is a commitment. And like, I mean, there are some people that we know, like we have somebody in our community and I think he's weighs over 400 pounds, but he's lost like so much weight. I want to say like 60 pounds or something like that in just like a few months, you know? So it's like, everybody seems to have a different kind of rate of loss, you know? Right. Yeah. 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 JT, I think you had a question. Yeah. Now that we can see you, your lovely face.
I'm so happy to see you all. But Dr. Lofton, in your practice, how do you evaluate success in the treatment of obesity? Meaning, do you evaluate all wins, such as blood work, quality of life, and movement on top of the number on the scale?
So the first thing I ask people when they come in is, you know, so my door says weight management. So I know why people are here, right? But I ask them, why are you interested in weight management? What do you really want to get out of it? Mm-hmm. And that first statement is what I'm evaluating as, did we achieve that? Because we know that our scale goals change, right? I see people, I want to lose 30 pounds. We get to 30 pounds. Oh, the goal, that number changes. It's okay. Now I want to lose 40 pounds. Yeah. That's fine. So I look at your health and your happiness, normal labs, you feeling good, being able to move throughout the world with ease. So if previously your knees hurt and now they don't, that's a non-scale win. Mm. And also, you know, confidence, mental health, those are things that really can waver, even weight is up or down due to other things. So we really... look at all of those, not just the number on the scale. We have to put the number in the chart for insurance purposes.
Sure.
Otherwise, I wouldn't really care. But I like to graph it and things like that. But it's really about you feeling good. You know, some people say, I want to be able to tie my shoes. And I can't.
Right.
Okay, let's achieve that. Right. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And I think like having those smaller goals in the beginning, even if it's just to tie your shoes, like it's huge. I mean, I think. Like, I remember I went to the beach this summer with my son, and for the first time ever, we swam in the ocean, and like, I was just jumping the waves, riding the waves, and I could do it, and my knees weren't buckling underneath me, and I was in pain, and I was just enjoying the moment and just the beautiful, like, richness of that. And it was like, I was like, everything is worth it just for this. Like, it was the coolest thing. You know, I think it's just that people don't realize there are people that want to be thin and skinny and all of those things. I think the only reason we want that is because of society, which will go into JT's question. But I feel like we just want to see our children grow up. We just want to see our grandchildren. We just want to be able to have adventures and not be in pain, you know? Exactly. And I'm always like just saying, I feel like, you know, people with obesity, we're just people that have a sickness and we need medicine and we deserve medicine. You know, I think that going back into like how society views it and continues to look at it like it's phenermine or like it's a diet pill. I don't know how to get away from that. I really don't, you know?
Yeah.
That's awful. Go ahead, JT. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's actually a really good point, because so many people who are entering the community are like, oh, the, you know, appetite suppression. And it's like, that's all they focus on. And I always say these medications do more than just appetite suppression. If that's what you want it, you could go to the drugstore and get it. But, thank you. You know, we seem to be in a time where obesity medicine is becoming more prevalent in the public eye. So do you predict a time where the greater public and medicine will be able to see obesity differently than just caloric deficit?
I think we're getting there to look at it from a more holistic approach. And I think that's starting with combining the body positivity movement with the fact that we have safe, effective treatments. And one, knowing that those two are not in opposition. You love your body and still want to lose weight. And I don't think we need to pick one, you know, and if you're in a body positivity group, don't shame the person who wants to treat their weight, you know, with medications or whatever treatment they decide to do so, because that's their body and it's about how they feel. So I think with changing opinions, recognizing weight bias, I do a lot of talk about weight bias because that's still one of the discriminatory practices that's unfortunately still accepted in the media, in schools, in workplaces, in the medical setting. We need to understand this exists and it's not okay. We need to change that bias. It should be completely unacceptable, like racial bias or other things like that. And then we can't be in a place where we're shaming people for being a higher weight and we're shaming them for treating it. I had to tell this to a patient the other day. She said, I really don't want meds. I said, well, what's your reason for not wanting meds? She said, well, I don't want people to think that I'm taking meds. So I said, well, we don't have to tell anybody outside this room, but you're going to have opposition of fortune in our world either way. Yeah. If you do, if you don't. So really changing that narrative. And I don't think we should hide it. I don't think we should feel that it needs to be something that's under the table. Of course, it's your body. You can just decide what to disclose. I give you a lot of credit for Mounjaro cups, by the way, with the group. Love it.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be anything shameful. We don't shame people for having cholesterol issues or diabetes issues. Again, those are culminations of genes and behaviors and physiology too. So it's really about changing the perspective, and we're getting there, but there's still a lot of work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, we're trying to.
I like that. We're on the same road together. We can just, put it together.
Yeah, like they don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can be positive about your body while you're treating your disease.
I feel that way.
In terms of insulin resistance, we've been hearing this a lot on the show from doctors, kind of talking about this being a spectrum, right? But does everybody that has obesity have insulin resistance of some sort?
We don't know is the answer, because we can't measure insulin resistance very well. There's
how
a time.
How do we measure it? Can you explain it, the ways that we do?
In research settings, there is a test called a HOMA-IR. It's a test for insulin resistance, but it's really expensive and not really feasible to do just when you go to get your labs drawn. So they don't do it all the time. But I believe that insulin resistance is present before it shows up on labs. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we have a sensitive enough test to determine everyone who's insulin resistant. By the time we see it on labs, we see insulin levels rising, or we see A1Cs rising. The insulin resistance has been present for decades, maybe.
Right.
So I think we need a better screening tool to determine who has insulin resistance and who doesn't. Now, but we do know sort of the other way. So if you have type 2 diabetes, we know you have insulin resistance. If you have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, we know you have insulin resistance. So we can see that backwards. But I think we need a better screening tool to see who's insulin resistant so we can treat early. Yeah. The other thing is a lot of the meds that cause weight gain, you mentioned earlier, medication-induced weight gain, steroids, some of the antidepressants, those cause an insulin resistance.
Yeah.
But you don't see the numbers changing until it's too late. I mean, how long has people, have you been on, what was the one you mentioned you were taking?
Depakote. Yeah.
Labs were normal for a while, then one day they switched. So there was a period in which we didn't know your insulin resistance.
20 years for me. Exactly. Yeah. More than that even, because I think it was before I even met my husband. So I mean, and it wasn't until honestly, it wasn't until COVID, till I hurt my back, till I gained the weight back again. I couldn't get it off after I had my kid. And then I go to the doctor and they're like, hey, we got to talk, you know, like next time you come, we're going to be talking, having a different conversation. Let's try to do something now, you know? So yeah, I think it's interesting. Yeah. We've just been hearing a lot about that, you know, from the doctors, but when you go to the doctor and you're trying to have a conversation, let's say if you can't get an obesity specialist, we know how hard that is. And we know about Fridays, like Jack and I both know Fridays very well. Mm-hmm. And we love that that allows people to have access to obesity care, right? And a protocol, have them treated that way. But not everybody can do that for whatever reason, right? Whether it's financial, maybe they're just not ready, like lots of different reasons. So if they have to go to their general doctor because they need to use insurance for whatever reason, how can they go and ensure that they're going to have the time to have this conversation? And can you suggest maybe some things that they could ask for? Like, could you test me for this, right? Could you run a test to check me for insulin resistance? Could you test me for, you know, should you pull a non-fasting insulin? I don't know, or something like that. Is there anything that we can do to try to help? Because there are so many, you know, general doctors, I just want like PCPs, however it is, that they just don't know. They really don't. And it's gotten to the point where as the patients, we're kind of having to advocate for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm involved in a group, you may have heard of the Obesity Action Coalition.
Yes.
It's obesityaction.org. And they do a lot of work with weight bias, stigma, treatment, legislation, so many things related to obesity as a disease. But one of the first campaigns they had was the Your Weight Matters Toolkit. And basically you can go to their website, obesityaction.org, and get this, download this toolkit, print it out, and they have lots of questions for you to discuss with your doctor. You know, talk about telling them your weight history. I ask everyone to draw their weight history when they come in, telling your weight history, what your concerns are about your weight, if it's medical or not, if it's a way that you feel or a fear of getting some other disease down the road, and then specific questions to ask really in that toolkit. As far as asking for labs, I think everyone should get the labs you normally should get every year.
Right.
You know, and those include normally your thyroid, your A1C, your lipids, your kidney, liver function test. But those being normal does not mean you can't treat the weight condition.
Yeah.
So I often tell patients, I will check your labs.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'll see if there's anything I need to treat to help you lose weight. But if they're normal, that doesn't stop me from making a treatment plan from you.
Nice.
I hope they're normal.
Okay.
Yeah. I want them to stay normal.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we don't have the etiology of the obesity, but we have the treatments.
Yeah. That makes sense. Awesome. I will get that link and see if I can put it in the show notes for our listeners or watchers. It should be in the show notes for audio and for YouTube. So we'll make sure you've got the resources that you need. Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been a lovely conversation, everyone. And thank you so much for coming. I appreciate that. Dr. Lofton, as well. Thank you for the link.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And Jack for coming on and being so brave to share your story.
Yay, thanks,
Jack. Awesome. Well, I will exit you guys stage left, as Janine says. Here are the exits. And then we will talk behind your back after you leave. So all good things. All good things.
Bye. All right,
thank you so much.
Thank
you so much.
Bye.
Oh, yay. Oh, my God. That was so good. That was so good.
Dr. Lofton is the truth.
She's the shit. She's amazing. She said all these things. I was just like, oh, my God, it's fascinating. Oh, yeah. I was supposed to ask you questions. I love it.
I was like typing in my notes, like some of the things that she was saying, because I had never heard them explained that way.
Yeah. I know. It was the best. I know, she's fantastic. I've been going after her for a minute.
We got her. I love the point where she said we can live in two worlds, and in fact, we need to be body positivity and wellness and weight loss need to be together to help this movement to stop obesity bias. We got to get it together.
I agree.
Yes, I agree. I love that the resource. I'll look into it, and we can probably, you know, we'll also do for listening audience to follow us and listen. We'll put it in our link trees so that you can go and access it, and we can tell people about it when we're on our lives and stuff. Like, hey, here's a toolkit.
Yeah,
it's just such a big problem. There's just not enough obesity specialists, you know, and it's great that we have companies like Fridays, you know, and companies like IVEAM and Mochi and all those, right? Where it's making things more accessible, but at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Even they all can't serve 40% of America. So we have to find a way for more, because that's what we care about, right? Like the most access and the best, you know, access possible, you know? So I think it's all good things. Things are changing.
We're getting there slowly but surely.
It is too slow, but it's movement. It's movement. Yeah.
We're getting there.
I hate we missed you like half of the thing. You were just like cycling. Like you were just like this little circle. We didn't see it all. So I don't want to get any messages going, Kim, you didn't like JT talk. I did too. You just didn't stick around.
It was my awesome Wi-Fi that has been doing so well. So I kind of expected something to happen.
So well. It must be because you were out of town and it was like, I took a break.
Yeah, it took a break.
You know,
season one, so many JT Wi-Fi issues.
That was kind of cool, though.
We would count, we would go one, two, and we would count down, and then bam, she would be right back. That was kind of fun.
Mine also took a doo doo before, too.
It did. With Dr. Contessa, I took a doo doo.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really bad storm.
It was a bad storm.
Freaking monsoon at my house.
Yeah.
It was.
Bye bye.
Does anybody have any non-scale victories this week?
My Rick James t-shirt.
That's a good one. What about you, JT?
Look at Rick.
This is a size medium.
So that's nice.
I said sweet and wet at the same time. So
that what? Was, I like it. So sweet and what?
So what? I love it.
This is a size medium.
Love it. Amazing. Love it. You're so little. When I saw you in person, we were in Atlanta and your little flapper dress on, it was so dingy.
your little Beyonce dress?
Yes. You know what? That dress, and I'm so glad that you found that picture, a good dress. Kat. And
you knew I was like, that's the one Beyonce wore when she sang with Prince.
Yeah. And I just liked it because it was pink and it had some feathers. I was just like,
sure,
oh, okay.
Me too. I'm all about some pink with some feathers.
I love it. But I mean, this is a size medium and it's a little oversized.
Right.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I
it's so cute.
When Dr. Lofton was talking about still it's cute.
It's cute. JT is so cute.
I'm like still going to the sections that you used to go to, or mm-hmm. going to like the websites and just automatically clicking the drop down menu for the larger sizes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It still is somewhat of a challenge for me. I never thought it would be, but it really is. But I'm doing better. I'm just like, okay. Because for some reason, like a medium, I just think it's going to be too small. Yeah. And I think that stems from when my body just started just going haywire.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was wearing a size medium and I remember my mom told me, Janine, I think you need to go up to a size large.
Yeah.
And
that's awful.
And I did, but I was trying to hold on to the medium.
I get it. Yeah. We all been there. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick James is still here because she was hanging on to it.
You're so right. You're so, I feel like, you know what? These aren't going anywhere. So I'm just like,
no, girl. They're here to stay. They're here to stay.
Mine have deflated.
Mine too. But grapefruits and socks.
To kind of push up.
You know, speaking of which, I caught a TikTok that Dr. Angelina posted of a breast surgery. I was like, whoa.
Oh.
Ooh. I was fascinated. I was like,
I bet.
Really?
I'll have to do something in the general vicinity at some point, but not right now. Wait till after menopause. I don't know. My NSV is weird. It's that I have collarbones.
Yes.
You can see them? Oh, yeah. Like, it's not like a little, it's like, there's like, it's like a big old situation right there. I was like having a conversation. I dipped, like I was on this FaceTime thing and I was like,
when you dip, we dip, we dip.
When I dip, I dip, we dip. Oh, I caught it. I caught it. Yo. I put my head up on my head.
When you dip, I dip.
Yes.
Woo.
A lovely way to end our night. It doesn't happen very often.
But I love it.
Anyway.
But when it does, it's so good.
It is. It's gold. I love it. All right. Well, it's been a great evening. Let's all go to sleep and stuff.
No doubt.
I love such fun.
You got to eat dinner first.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been like, it's been a busy day. Yeah.
You know, speaking of eating, I don't know if you know what, we can cut it out if we don't want to talk about it. But I bought the Prime Bites brownie, protein brownies.
How?
And been all over TikTok. WTF.
Really?
These mofos taste like a damn buttery ass piece of cake.
Stop it. Is it good gluten?
Oh, dang it, Kim.
Does it say wheat? If it says wheat, we know.
I do have my readers in here.
Oh, your readers. Those are the cutest. They look like coffee talk. You know?
Way.
Dr. Loft is a badass.
Oh, I don't know. Look at this. Almond flour, vegetable oil.
Well, I can't eat it then.
Tapioca fiber.
Ooh, this is all trending to gluten-free.
I know. I see lecithin. That's in everything.
If it didn't say wheat in like the first four ingredients, I think.
Girl, I don't think I see gluten in here.
Great.
Gluten-free on the box.
What does it have? Like contains milk or something like that at the bottom? Because it would say contains wheat.
Contains milk, eggs, soy, almond. It does say may contain
trace amounts.
Wheat, peanut, cashew, walnut, pecan. Or as we say in Georgia, pecan.
I don't know. I change it up a lot. Sometimes it is definitely a pecan pie.
You know what I'll do?
It is not a pecan pie.
I will save you a bite, Kim, to make sure and see if you have any gut reaction to it. Birthday cake.
Well, no, if I start to itch. I itch when I eat it. It's awful.
Take a little baby bite.
Yeah.
But oh my God. Usually protein, anything.
I'm excited.
Tastes like a foot.
Yeah, agreed. I got to try it now.
Tastes like this.
I haven't found anything that's very good. Like a shoe.
So anyway, and listen, we didn't get paid to do that. I just decided for
it. However, we are open to it. We are not above it. Reach out.
Not above this. No. But those
we're
things
fine. Are fine. We got a whole lane for an advertiser that wants to be a protein. We've been trying to get devotion. Nothing yet.
You guys who make ghost protein. That stuff is great too.
Oh, okay.
But
bless the chill. Yeah.
And I also discovered Premier Protein.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's this. Are you talking about devotion or
soul? Oh, she picked it up and I didn't even drop it down.
I was singing Earth, Wind, and Fire. You need devotion.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You didn't pick it up yet.
I did not. Oh, I missed God. That one. I was
write it in down in the history books. Kat missed a drop
because this cake is so good.
Yeah, I want to try it. It
can't
looks delicious.
Eat it because it has almond flour in it.
Does it have almond flour? Oh, that sucks. Yeah, that's the only thing worse than that is being allergic to wheat and maybe peanuts. Peanuts is kind of a bum deal.
Peanuts is tough.
Yeah, peanuts is tough. It's in everything. It's way worse than wheat. Yeah, plus you know anaphylactic shock and all. You know.
Yeah. That might be something to consider.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Nope.
Anyway, good talk. Should we
good
break?
Talk, guys. This was
we'll
awesome.
See you next week. All right. Remember, you're not alone. Yeah. And it's not your fault.
It's not your fault. You're not alone. Nope. It's not your
we
fault.
We'll see you next
you're
week.
Not alone. Nope, hasta la pasta.
Because you didn't know. Hasta la pasta. We haven't said that in forever.
I know.
Hasta la pasta.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveen makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveen. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Peptide-Vite. It's the first daily natural vitamin to help support a reduction in the major side effects of GLP-1s. Peptide-Vite supports fatigue, nausea, GI side effects, and promotes better metabolism. It is third-party tested, made in the USA in a FDA-certified facility. Peptide-Vite is a game-changer all-in-one daily supplement, pharmacist and physician formulated to be safe and effective. Use code PLUS20 for 20% off at zennutrients.com.
It's time for a change rooted in lasting evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program. A nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
You interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.